Live, brought to you from the Eternal Word Television Studios in Birmingham, Alabama.
Of Jesus.
The most glorious work of all, to praise God in his kingdom.
Moved by the Spirit.
One who lives in love lives in God. And God lives in him.
What a wonderful thing is our church. This whole network is built on trust. The essence of evangelization is to tell everybody Jesus loves you. We are all called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity.
Well, hi there. Well, I gotta take mic off, Drop. My asthma's bad, that's why I look like a tomato. Do I look like a tomato tonight? No? I feel like a tomato. Anyway, a man from Hansville gave this to our guard. I want to give this to Mother Angelica. And I looked at it and I was amazed. You know, I get a lot of things in the mail, but I never got one like this. But this was a personal gift. I don't know if you're listening or not. Probably not, because he works this time of night. So if you would hand me my gift, if you close your eyes, then you'll be surprised when I put it on. Which goes which? The front? This the front? It looks like the back. You're sure this is the front?
Absolutely.
Okay. Is that right? Heavy. They really wear these? But they don't have a habit on top or underneath. Somebody has to take a picture so I can show my sisters. Oh, they don't look too good. You know, somebody said, Mother, you better wear it right or they're going to look like you just drank tequila. Well, that's not too bad. I think I better take it off. It's going to fall. Well, I want to thank you for giving this to me. We're going to put it in my cabinet and have it as a... So we'll say a prayer for you when we see it. It's just a lot of work. You can see, isn't that beautiful? And it's just what Bill, that's a guarantee of personal prayer, I can tell you. It's called Pigali. No? Oh, well. What happened? Everything went up, huh? Oh, dear. Just shows, you know. Well, I couldn't resist, really, because I thought it was a great gift. A lot of thought, a tremendous amount of work, and a lot of love. So if you are listening, I just want to thank you very, very much. And we all had fun with it, and that's wonderful. You know, I wasn't too sure what to talk about. I never am, but we're in one of those positions, like I said last week, that you can talk about, but you're supposed to do it in such a way that nobody knows what you're talking about. But they know what you're saying. You know, that's hard to do, isn't it? To ask these priests, that's very hard to do. So I'm going to start. Because of the election. And I never mentioned names because I don't vote for people. And I don't vote for parties. Well, I got my dinner stuff. See, I have to put these up so I don't get my habit in my soup. This is one of those things I don't, the sisters are home probably if they're watching. I let them watch on Tuesday night. And then I get to say all the things they don't hear. But anyway, here I am. I can just hear them say, "Mother, your sleeves are up." I got them down. However, I think the ruling party, if you want to talk about parties, are the Catholics and Christians of this nation. You can break it, or you can make it. And I feel really in my conscience, somebody has to say that. You have the power as a Catholic and a Christian. And you have to be very careful how you vote. And you can't vote for economic reasons. You really can't. You can't vote for economic. You say, "I'm going to lose my pension." You're going to lose your pension, for goodness sakes. See, we are, at this moment, the whole world, I think, is standing before God. But you know what's so strange to me is that we're not even concerned about abortion anymore. We're kind of, everybody seems a little tired of hearing about it. And partial birth abortion is the worst. I saw a picture the other day. What they do is turn the baby around feet first. That's terrible. A woman has to suffer terrible pain. The head's supposed to be first. They turn that baby around feet first, and they have to pull in the arm so that the head comes last. Now, you women had babies. You know what that means. Do you know what that means? Then they take a scissors and puncture the baby's back of its head and take the brain out. Do you know that? And you're going to vote for people who approve of that? How can you do that? I think what's so heartbreaking to me is that we don't see the difference. This baby's being born. That's not abortion. It's the worst kind of killing. I don't understand how the doctors can do that. I saw a little baby the other day in his mother's arms. I don't think it was more than 2 weeks, 3 weeks old. It's so tiny. And she was holding it with great love. And I said, "How could you kill that little baby to get its brains out so you could do research?" I don't understand that. You can't compare that to your Social Security check, because you're going to have it. Nobody's going to take that away from you, because they want to get it the next time. They're not stupid. No check, no vote. That's what's going to happen. It don't depend who's there. I heard the same argument last time. Yes, that's all a farce. If the wrong people get in that are not for life, I can tell you, you old people ain't going to get a check, because they're going to do away with you. The other part of abortion is euthanasia. So then you really can't get the medicine you need because you're too old, and you've had your life. I've already heard that one. Don't let them fool you. America, wake up. You see, we have never lived, I don't think, in a time of history In the past, as a Catholic church, we've had little skirmishes here and there, you know. And we had Luther wanted one thing, and Zwingli wanted something else, and everybody wants something else. And we went through that, and some of our popes were not too hot, so we went through that. But never in there, I don't think, and I'm not a historian, but I don't think the entire world, I mean, and this is entire world, was in a position of non-God. See, we have made up our own God, so there's no sin, you see. You can sin all you want, and God loves you, and it's okay. And when we say we have choice, God gave us a will, and in my will, I have a choice. Sure, God gave us that gift. That's not news. It's not this world. God has given me a gift. See, if I plant a seed, I can't put acid on it and expect fruit. I'm going to die. Then why plant the seed? Oh, we got the answer to that. We can have the fun, but we don't have to have the children. So we got birth control. You decide when you're going to have a child. And what happens? Well, many times you can't have them after a while. This pill is interesting. Poor young girls that get pregnant, 15, 16, said they're going for that and they're going to bleed to death. But that's part of the agenda. Decrease the population, you're not catching on. Decrease the population and then a few can control. And then what are you going to do? I hope Teresa Newman was right. She said that America would never be punished by concentration camps, but by the weather. Some of our cities, in Birmingham, he has a drought. Many cities are having terrible times. You say, well, come on, Mother, you don't think God's punishing us. Well, you ought to read. I suggest very well that you read the Old Testament. God loves us, see? Let's go through God's love a little bit. If you're up on a mountain and you're all having a picnic, it's a beautiful place, it's wonderful, and all of a sudden you see your son and he's running and you know where he's going to go. He's going to go off that mountain, maybe 1,000 feet, and get killed. Well, you run after him, but that little guy, he's running fast. He thinks he's going to go in the air and fly. Well, you finally catch him, but it's by the feet, and you pull him, and he's all wounded, scratched, maybe a little bone broke here or there, but you saved his life. That's the same thing God does. Sometimes we're going so headlong down by sin, drugs, murders, oh my golly. God is going to have to run after us, pull us by the feet, and we're going to hurt a little bit. See, God works the same way you would work. Now you wouldn't say, what a cruel father. Your little arms are broken, his face is all scratched. You're cruel. Well, you'd be nuts if you said he was cruel. He saved, he loves, and he saved that child. I can't imagine our Lord allowing us to hit the ground level by killing babies in the act of being born in the most hideous way. Well, I don't want to know that. You got to know it. You have to rebel against that kind of thing, not vote for it. How could you vote for that and sometimes stand before God and say, I voted for children unborn to be killed and slaughtered in the womb by salt, hot salt, dismemberment? We don't want to hear that. You know, we put an ad, we put something on the air some years ago. And these people complain like crazy. I don't want my daughters and sons to see that. And why do you allow it? If it's not even good for your daughters and sons to see, why is it good at all? Oh, we're going to close abortion clinics if you can take a pill. Why not? I mean, it's cheap. Bleeding to death is not cheap. Endangering your soul is a high price. See, we're so afraid, aren't we? We're so afraid. We're afraid that if we speak and vote the truth, the government will tax us. That's okay. You're taking a chance, but I'd rather take that chance than take a chance of children dying for no reason and the torture of the mother afterwards. See, I don't understand that. I really have a hard time with that because some professor in some university came up with something crazier. See, it's all hearsay, but it'll come out. Now they can kill children after they're born. I mean, are you nuts or what? You can't kill a man. Is his age allow you to kill him? Well, why kill him in the womb? I will lose popularity saying this, that I could care less. I figure if you love me, you love me. And if you don't, you don't anyway. Me speaking my mind isn't going to make you hate me more. If it does, well, that's your problem. It's not mine. Maybe the higher-ups will get up there. It's not your duty to say these things on the air. Well, somebody has to say them. You know, our Lord said something one time. Made me feel good when I read it in this good book. Falling apart, too. Anyway, the Pharisees were one of their little trickies, you know. That's the art of deceit. We got a lot of that going on. Deceit. It means you act nice and you say the right things, but it's all a lie. A lie. Anyway, they were trying to test the Lord, and he gave an answer that I thought was very good. He said, "You are like your father, who was a liar from the beginning." You ever heard a sermon on that one? No, you won't hear a sermon on that one, because they're poor priests struggling up there. They'll think you'll walk out. Well, walk out. And I could tell you where you're going. There is a hell, my friends. And the way we're voting, the way we're acting, the what things we're doing, it's not leading to heaven. Oh, I'm not given a hopeless situation. There's always time to repent. Change your life. Go for Jesus. And his mother has been telling us for years. For years. Say the rosary, say the rosary, say the rosary. It's so small. You get a great reward for giving a cup of cold water. I thought that's sweet of our Lord to say cold water. He could have just said water. But he said cold water. What a wonderful thing. In my name, your reward is great. A little thing. And this one thing I love. He said one day, if you accept a prophet because he is the prophet, you get a prophet's reward. Oh, golly. That means he's got to do all that work, all that suffering, and all that pain. I get the same reward. Just for accepting him. Boy, that's some kind of God. What will you do? Well, if we could stop abortion. You know why we don't stop it? We put the wrong people in that vote for it. It's that simple. How many million in America? 200 million people? 300 million now? What is it? How many? 270 million people. 25% of those are Catholic, and I think another amount, great amount, are Christian. So you got more than 25% of people, probably 30, 35, maybe 40. You could change the whole country. The whole country you can change. Woe to us. Woe. If we keep voting for murder. Murder. You know, Sister and I were traveling long ago. And we were in a little restaurant near the gate of the plane. I had listened purposely to this conversation about these two doctors. They were both abortion doctors. And the one doctor was having scruples about this whole thing. And the other doctor said, oh, they're all crazy. They don't know what they're talking. You're doing a great service. Well, I listened to that for a while, and I thought, you crazy man. You know, when I'm surprised that all our feminists love abortion doctors, I think that's a contradiction. You hate men, but you like abortion men. That makes sense to you? No, it doesn't make any sense. You just choose the ones you hate. Watch me get a letter over that one. If you got time to write to me on that level, put it in the basket, because that's exactly what I'm going to do. And you see what I don't understand, that some people base their platform on murder. How can you do that? All us old people, it includes me, and I found that out about 10 years ago, when I got the center page of a magazine for the old. I wonder who sent me that. I opened it up to center page just by accident, and there I was. I was never so shocked in my life. And I was only, let's see, I'm 77. I was about 69 or 70. There I was. I thought, God, I made it. I didn't know it. But you know, all the old people could change the whole country if you voted right. Somebody said, well, people are executed in the electric chair or wherever, however. I said, well, I don't think that's right either, but a vicious murder, the state can determine that. There's no comparison to 1.5 million a year. Every few seconds, a baby is murdered. And partial birth abortion is rising. Because we've lost compassion. See, this year, all over the world, it's all the same. I have a prayer I say many times a day. You won't like it. And you won't say it either. I say, Lord, come and save us. Come and save us. We've lost love, compassion, pity. Pity. And we don't care too much for the mother either. These women sometimes go home and bleed to death, and they bury them, and that's it. So they kill two for that one. I don't think they cry about it. I don't think they do anything. They get their money. See, we are accepting and we're doing things. Then when the chance comes to do something about it, we don't. Some of you are saying, oh, mother, for goodness sake, you're on that chastisement trip again. Aren't we chastising little babies? Wouldn't you call murder a chastisement? We are chastising children. How can you fear a chastisement from God, who is merciful and a father and forgives? This child hasn't had a chance. And you don't worry about and you don't care. You're going to vote people in that are ready and promote sucking brains out of an innocent child? I don't know. I don't know how you think. I don't know how you think. I hope and pray. You know, there was a limit to God's... when these men came back from looking around, they brought grapes, you know. Well, I saw some grapes like this. They were that big, one bunch, and they had it carried it on their arms. And it said, these men are like giants. And everybody said, oh, we can't go. We can't fight giants. We're small people. We're not going to go. But what happened? Well, the anger of God burned. And he said, you shall walk around this property for 40 years and you shall all die for not believing in my words. See, he was deprived of a great miracle. He was going to do a great miracle. That these little short men with their meager weapons, and really what really happened later on, 40 years later, they went in there and just blew horns. I don't know what kind of weapon that was, but it worked. The whole wall kept coming down. See, God wanted to work a miracle. But the people said, no. We don't want a miracle. We're afraid. They worried more about themselves than God. Or God's word. You know, my angel's name is Fidelis because he's been very, very good to me. And I said to him one day, you know, I bet you laugh a lot about we people. First of all, we're not half as intelligent as you, and maybe not even a bit. I bet you have a good laugh once in a while up there. Because we're so dumb. I mean, we don't look at something as sensible as something so obvious. See, if you were wondering about something, you can make wrong decisions. But what we're talking about killing is so obvious. You don't kill a baby. That has to bring tears to Our Lady's eye. Because He knew. You know, I think I told some of you, and there's a lot that don't listen or that listens for the first time. This poor woman went to confession to Padre Pio. And so he heard her confessing, and he said, "Is that all?" And she said, "Yes, Father." He said, "No, I cannot give you absolution. But go up that mountain and walk up it. Maybe you'll get light at the top." So that poor woman came out crying. She didn't get absolution. And she walked up that mountain. And she came back. He said, "Did you walk up the mountain?" She said, "Yes." "Did you remember anything?" She said, "No." He said, "Walk up again." That woman walked up four times. The fourth time she went through the same thing, and he said, "You don't remember anything?" She said, "No." He said, "Close your eyes." So she did. "And what do you see?" She said, I see a priest. He looks like a cardinal." He said, "That was to be your son. And he was destined to do great things for the church." See, we don't know God. And we don't know what these children were destined for. You know, a mystic said about 4 or 5 years ago. We don't have to believe mystics, you know. But she was praying and talking to the Lord, and she said, "Lord, why don't we find a solution, a treatment for cancer and AIDS and all these other terrible diseases that are coming our way?" He said, "I did send you one, but you killed it in an abortion. And we've also lost, by every aborted child, we have lost thousands and thousands and thousands of people. It isn't one you kill. It's thousands. Because that child would have been married and their children married, and we just have no idea how many children really will never see the light of day from one abortion." Oh, my. And you say, "Well, we're New Testament people." Oh, God. Does that give you a right to kill? No. Does it mean we're going to tear up the Old Testament? You better not. Woe to the man who changes one word in the Word of God. Well, some of these people translating ought to read that. Well, this night may be my swan song, you know. But if I'm going under, I'd rather go under doing this. But you see, we don't understand. We don't understand. This is a time in our wonderful, beloved country. There's no country like ours. We had that wonderful holy woman here, Sister Mary Sumter, a couple of weeks ago, or was it last week? She's a Carthusian. These are those nuns that work in the fields, and they do something with a school. I don't know what it is, but they are holy nuns. And there was a radiance about her that was beautiful. And when she came to see me in Hansville, she said, I have to talk to you. And I said, well, she had a translator. And I said, okay. She said, can we help you? Well, you know, those could be famous last words when you say, can you help me? You know, I have 20 projects and, you know, just a lot of things that I think, well, the Lord asked me to do. Anyway, she said, do you know that only 8% of all the children in Germany are baptized? I said, didn't know that. Oh, yeah. And she said, they don't even know. She's in East Germany. They don't even know what an altar is, because they've had all these dictators. Then they had the Second World War, the First World War, the Second World War. And then they had Hitler, and then they had communism. How would they know? How would they know? And our country has its faults and its sins. Big ones. But thank God we have worship, the privilege to worship and to learn. But will it last? If a people keep voting for murder, will God's blessing last with us? Will we care when the elderly are dragged out and say, well, you've had it. You've lived long enough, or you can't buy this medicine, but it keeps them alive. Well, you've had your years. Why can't that be next? Why can't it be? Why can't it be? Because what's the difference? See, when you lose God, when you lose God and you don't pray, and you don't love him, and you don't believe what he says in this book, your New Testament, okay. Read it. Read it. You Catholics haven't lifted a Bible since you had the use of reason. I just opened this. Just opened it. He said, I'm not asking you, Father, to remove them from the world, but to protect them from the evil one. All of you have been told there's no hell. You're calling God a liar. And if you believe it, you're a stupid liar. You can't do that. Lord, consecrate them in the truth. I just opened it. Your word is truth. As you send me into the world, I send them. Has he sent us? Yes. Are we doing it? Are we evangelizing by our thoughts, by our prayers, by our love for each other? Or do we lament comfortably in our living rooms, listening to soap operas? Let me tell you, I faced God one day, not too long ago. I wasn't afraid for some reason. It was a pleasant experience. But it was a strange experience. But suddenly there was no one except God in front of me. I knew he was there. I didn't think I was ready. And I said, Lord, I don't think I'm ready, but it's okay. And suddenly I got sent back. Maybe I sent back just for this night. When I say, God cries over us, and his mother cries over us. that we can't even do a little thing for his people and his kingdom. I don't understand. I hope I never, never understand. Never. I don't understand that kind of thinking. America, now's your chance. Now's your chance to change it. Now is your opportunity to turn it around. Jesus came to give us light. Jesus came to die for us, and he did a terrible, terrible death. And I've been wondering lately if that isn't one of the things that made him sweat blood. What he saw today, he decided millions and millions of eons away, when there was nothing, no one but the Trinity, he decided to create you. He decided to create all those millions and millions and millions of children who would never see the light of day, who would never become great, who would never see heaven, who would never, 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 never. And to know, even then, you would say no. Strange, isn't it, huh? This God of ours could wipe out this whole world in about two instances. I just read an article about this, I don't know, a meteorite or something coming this way sometime in December or whatever. These are scientists, no mystics. And I like to read stuff like that. And what they said, it's coming, but they're going to blow it up in the middle of the universe. You're always outsmarting God. Let me tell you. One day you won't. One day you won't. See, why are you going to give us any encouragement? I'm giving you encouragement. I want you to live. That's the most encouraging thing I know. Now, I'm hoping I scare hell out of you so you'll change. I think that's a good thing if I can do that tonight. If I could tell you, teenagers seem to be so loose with everything that you're offending God, but you're giving up heaven. I think that's good news. You're not lost. As long as you can breathe, you can say, I'm sorry. All you women who have had abortions, you're not lost. You can say, I'm sorry. You can go to confession. You can wipe it out, at least. You can live with it. And knowing you're forgiven, that's good news. But it's also good news to know the truth. There is a hell. And the way you're going, you could go to it. So that's all my good news tonight. If this country will wake up, the Holy Father said that his last couple trips here. He said, America, if you don't change, terrible things will happen. We didn't pay attention to that. Now's your chance to change the world. We have a call. I only got 8 minutes, but I felt in my heart I had to say what I have to say. Hello?
Hello, Mother.
Well, where are you from?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Good. And what is your question?
I wanted to ask you, what is your advice to us, like, if things don't turn out like we want and we've voted and we've prayed? What can we do? How should we look at it if the wrong people get into office?
You can't do anything, honey. You see, we vote for what we're responsible for the vote. And those that voted right are well before God because you voted for His law. All of you that are fighting the evil, all the evil in this country, you've done God's word. You've done God's law. You obeyed God's law that all those children should live. And now already we say we don't have enough engineers. We don't have enough work here. I can't find work here. I can't find work there. Wait till 10 years. You see? So we're already suffering from that. And don't feel helpless. Don't feel helpless. You did your duty. You stand before God alone. You did your duty. You did what He wanted. You did what you believed in His truth and His way that there should be life. Well, whatever the world suffers, we'll suffer with it. But your suffering will have great merit, like the martyrs. They knew they were going to be chewed up. First 300 years, every pope was martyred. You got to be pope, down you went. They knew that. But the kingdom and their Lord and Savior was worth it. You vote for life, and whatever comes, it won't be half as bad, or one-third as bad, as if it doesn't come. Now, if it doesn't come, and we are suffering from it, and we will. We will. And that's our penance. See? That's our penance. But you are right with God, because you voted by His law for life. We can get another call in. Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Where are you from?
I'm from New Jersey.
Okay. What is your question?
My question is, how do I explain to non-Catholics about purgatory?
About what? Purgatory, that great place. I hope we all go there. It's common sense, eh? It's a doctrine in our church, but it's a common sense thing. Why you go to hospitals, have these terrible operations? No, I didn't see anybody say, I'm against hospitals, I'm against operations. You make it there so fast. Why? Because you want to get well. See, you want to be well of that cancer or tumor or whatever it is. Well, it's the same as purgatory. You want to be well. You want to be perfect and holy. You can't get into heaven. You can't even see God face to face until you're holy. You can't go in there the kind of way. That's just common sense. Even when you get older, what do? Dye your hair, put on more makeup, put eyelash stuff on. You get skinny, you can wear better dresses. You're still old. Everybody knows you're on your way out. You know, you're not hiding anything. But why you do that? You want to appear again the way you were before. You can't. So even in our minds, we have purgatory. We want to change. So we look better. Well, you got to do that to get to heaven. Don't tell me somebody just committed an abortion or just had an affair. He gets in his car feeling very good and he gets hit head on. He's gone straight to heaven. The same man that had the abortion is the same man who is facing God. Now, if he gets into purgatory, I'd be happy and surprised. Because his mind is set against God. See, you can't. I say, Lord, I wish you made me smarter. I wish I had the right words. And I get very frustrated. Because these truths are truths, but they're also common sense. Common sense. Think of some ideas, if you would, and make the people understand. Well, I got about 5 seconds. I love you. And I'm willing to hurt you because I love you. But I also need you to survive. Bye now.